In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I am required, threatened actually, on pain of death by the Hallmark Corporation, to remind you that today is Mother's Day. And if you have forgotten your mother, you will be glad to know that 1-800-Flowers will send her flowers by Tuesday for an extra $10, since you have been a bad child and have forgotten. So in one tiny concession to secular society, my sermon today will be on the issue and the matter of motherhood, by which, of course, I mean the mother of our Lord, the Blessed Virgin Mary, Our Lady. We continue with our mystagogical sermons this Eastertide, and we come to something that many, especially in this part of the country, may think is sort of an added-on option to Christianity, devotion to Our Lady. But we will see, looking at Scripture, at the early fathers, that a proper Mariology is a central part of a proper theology. A proper understanding of Mary helps us to have a proper understanding of Jesus, of the triune God, and of what God is doing in the world about us. Mary is not an added-on bit. Mary is not an interesting lady to whom we can pray if we have some need for a feminine divine. The Mother of our Lord is an integral, essential part of our faith. Without the Blessed Virgin, there is no incarnation. Without her ascent, without God's purpose for her from before all time, we would not be saved. We must think properly about the Mother of our Lord. We will see this from Scripture, the early fathers. We will also think about how a proper Mariology gives us good theology in our own day. And finally, most practically, as we've already heard from our epistle, how loving the parent helps us love the child. How a love of Mary leads us to a deeper, more abiding love of Jesus. For in all these things, as the collect says this morning, we are to love God in all things and above all things, that we may obtain his promises for us. And I will suggest this morning that a proper love of Mary, a proper understanding of Mary, is part of how we get to loving God in and above all things. So contrary to what some other more evangelical Protestants have said, Scripture has a good deal to teach us about the Mother of our Lord. We know, of course, that Mary was a virgin. She conceived Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit without ever having known the touch of a man. Early and until the recent modern era, almost universal church tradition has upheld the perpetual virginity of Our Lady, that Mary spent her entire life focused on the motherhood of Jesus and the kingdom of God. Scripture tells us not only that Mary was a virgin, but that God purposed for her. God gave her certain graces that we will talk about to make her ready for the task of bearing our Lord. Mary was present at the foot of the cross, the proper place for the disciples. Very early unanimous tradition has Mary being at the Feast of Pentecost as well, there with the apostles, where she was hailed as queen. Scripture itself should clearly teach us that Christianity is not a religion that is against women or that relegates women to a lower place. Indeed, outside our Lord Jesus Christ himself, the greatest person to ever walk this face of the earth in the scheme of salvation is a woman, the Blessed Virgin Mary herself. We see the Virgin Mary in the book of Revelation as the Queen of Heaven, crowned by the stars, seated in glory. Scripture has much to teach us. Our Lord purposed for Mary to bear him in this world. Mary was chosen for a purpose. She wasn't some random Jewish girl in Palestine. From before the foundation of the world, God knew we would rebel. God knew he would redeem us. And he knew he would do it through the Blessed Virgin Mary. A humble teenager who was still given such graces as to be the holiest person to have walked the face of the earth apart from our Lord himself. Scripture commends us to honor Mary, not to worship Mary, but to join Mary, revere Mary, and worship God the Father alongside her. If we love the parent, we will love the child. The early fathers had a lot to do. They, of course, had to stamp out heresy, acknowledge the canon of Scripture, and we have the creeds handed down from the early councils, one of which we will recite in a moment. But one of the greatest things the early fathers had to do was combat heresy. As you might imagine, while the Bible teaches us much, church tradition, especially very early church tradition in the first 5 centuries roughly, helps us understand the Bible correctly. For an example, in the Bible, we see the Father, we see the Son, we see the Holy Spirit, but it is the councils of the church that helps us properly understand the Trinity. So the early fathers also revered Mary as higher above the rest of creation, with the exception, of course, of our Lord, who is not a creature. They viewed a proper view of Mary as necessary to a proper view of the incarnation. In the early church, most of the heresies fell into one of two categories. Heresies about the Trinity, how the different members relate to one another, whether they're the same substance or a similar substance, and all of that. And how to understand our Lord. How to understand the interaction of our Lord being fully human and fully divine, which admittedly is confusing if you've ever taken a math class. How he's 100% human and 100% divine is indeed a mystery. So the church was combating these issues, and they recognized rightly that a proper view of the dignity, of the holiness, of the blessedness of the Virgin Mary, blessed more than any other person in creation, is essential to understanding the incarnation of our Lord. On the one hand, if Mary basically is a female God, Jesus can go along being perfectly divine and not have to deal with that messy part about being human. These heresies were quite popular, in fact, in the days not long after Jesus ascended into heaven. For coming from the pagan background, it was easy to think of gods as a part, but it was scandalous to think of a God who was a person. On the other hand, if Mary is just some random Jewish girl in Palestine, well, Jesus can pretty easily be some random cynical prophet who led a political movement who got himself crucified. Now, of course, these things are both wrong. But when we view Mary rightly, the fathers argued, as being below God, of course, but above the rest of us, holding a special blessed place in the scheme of creation and salvation, it helps us to view Jesus correctly, to recognize that Mary, though simply a person, was given individual graces suitable to the task she had for herself, that no other person in the history of the world has had. We do well, on the basis of Scripture and early tradition, to hail Our Lady as being full of grace, as above us, as the Queen of Heaven, the Queen of the Apostles, while still worshiping God alongside her. It is a careful balance indeed. But the fathers were concerned about proving Jesus' humanity, about demonstrating that Jesus was truly 100% divine, eternally proceeding from the Father, and completely human, born of the very flesh of the Virgin Mary. This is why God preserved the flesh of the Virgin Mary, so that she was not tainted by original sin, nor would our Lord be. Some of these doctrines are later developments that seek to explain the early basic beliefs, that God set Mary apart. He called her to a holy vocation. And even if we don't define it much beyond that, imagine, just attempt to imagine what it must have been like to have the second person of the Trinity in your womb for 9 months on this Mother's Day. I don't know that we have enough time to plumb the depths of what that must mean when we talk about communion with God. Mary has literally had God within her body. She bore our Lord for us and for our salvation. Truly, she was called to a holy vocation above the rest of us. That's why, as we have been made children of God, sons and brothers and sisters of Jesus, Mary is our mother as well. And we do well to love our mother, who leads us to God the Father. So in the early church, they had problems with heresy. Thankfully, we no longer have heresy today. But in our day, I know, in our day, there is a more problematic heresy that Mary can help us with as well. Proper Mariology helps us avoid heresy. You may have heard of this ridiculous thing called the search for the historical Jesus, which is a heresy before they even did any of the scholarship. Just the premise. Jesus of Nazareth is different than the Christ of faith. This, of course, is rubbish. But viewing Jesus as solely human is quite in right now. As an interesting teacher who had some neat things to say, who lived a long time ago and taught us all to love one another and hold hands, we can get to a very human Jesus much more quickly if we stop at a Mary who is no longer blessed at all. And indeed, in many portions of the church, and certainly in society at large, Our Lady is not revered. And this is wrong indeed. To not view Mary in her proper place, as yes, a creature, but a creature called, gifted with singular graces, to bear our Lord, to be the mother of God Himself here on earth, truly sets her in the stars, the Queen of Heaven, the Queen of the Apostles, and our Mother, our Blessed Virgin Mary. Our day has a day filled with bad pop psychology and stuff that passes for theology, which is why we need to remember, along with the early fathers, that Mary is not an added-on part. We revere Mary here at St. James very well. She has a very special place in our piety and our worship together. But it's not because we're a church that happens to be interested in the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's because, I'll argue, that we're getting this thing right. That worshiping God alongside Mary, revering Mary, asking her to pray for us, is a worthwhile thing to do to draw us closer to God. We say lex orandi, lex credendi. The law of our prayer or belief, the law of our prayer or worship is the law of our belief. This is why, as Anglicans, the best theology you will find is in the prayer book in that pew back in front of you. We write great theology when we're writing worship. Not so great when we're writing papers, unfortunately. But if you want to know what you believe, ask about how you worship. Ask about how your piety has been affected. And I ask you this, for those of you who have come to St. James from other traditions, or even were here at different points in the church's history when Marian devotion was not quite as prominent, over these past years, as you have sung the Marian antiphon, as we have sung Marian hymns on Our Lady's days, have you not found yourself growing closer to the Mother of our Lord? Even before we make theological arguments, the more and more we say the Hail Mary, the more and more we ask Mary to pray for us, does it not find its way into our hearts? Our worship informs our belief. This is why children can say that the Son proceeds from the Father in the Creed long before they've taken a college religion class and worked out what we think that exactly means. Our piety informs our belief. And this is why we lift the Virgin Mary high in this place, because she is blessed above all women and all men through all of creation, gifted with singular grace to bear our Lord for us, to intercede for us, and to welcome us at that day when we enter into heaven, meet our Lord and our God, and meet our Queen as well, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, practically, having talked about the theology, loving Mary helps us love Jesus better. We have heard in the collect today that we are asking God to give us grace to love Him above all things in all things, that we may receive the grace, the promises that He has given for us. If we are attempting to love God, which is a large part of why we're here today, I think, we would do well to do things that help us love God better. The Epistle has already reminded us that love of parent leads you to love of the child. And I invite you to ponder on how true this is. Respecting the Blessed Virgin Mary, holding her high, revering her in our hearts, does not make her an idol. It makes her a sign that points us deeper into the heart of God. Jesus always pointed people to the Father. The Son and the Spirit always point people back to the Father. And the Blessed Virgin Mary, as Queen of the Saints, along with all the other saints, exists not to point us to themselves, but to point us to God Himself. Love of Mary draws us closer to the love of God. This is why we lift the Blessed Virgin high in this place, in her rightful place, acknowledging what God chose to do through her, for us and for our salvation. Amen.